Would you please be opening your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 17? Proverbs chapter 17, and just a moment we'll be reading the 17th verse. As you turn there, I want to express my gratitude to each of you for being here today. As has already been noted, there are many who are here with us this morning as invited guests, those who have been asked by members of this church to come and be with us today. And we're very grateful that you've accepted that invitation. You've honored us by that. But if you've come here as a visitor, by one just who is passing through town, or maybe even one who lives in our community who has chosen to come and visit with us today, we certainly count your presence here equally as an honor. We appreciate very much that you've joined us. And it is because we do have so many with us today who are friends that I have chosen to speak to you from God's Word about friendship. And friendship is something that is one of the greatest needs of the human heart. We have a longing for someone who knows us, someone who loves us, someone who accepts us. And the Bible, which speaks to us about virtually every aspect of the human nature, speaks to us about friendship as well. In Proverbs chapter 17 and in the 17th verse, we see where the Scripture says that a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity. Now, we need such friends. And to deny that we need friends, or to deny that we need family, someone who is there for a time of adversity, is simply to deny our humanity. So, I want to talk to you today about friends and about making a friendship forever. Would you think with me for just a few moments, first of all, about what I'm going to call the marks of a friendship. Just what is a friend anyway? I want to suggest to you there are three marks of a friendship. The first is that a friend is someone who shares. The Bible, as we've read in Proverbs 17, says that a friend loves at all times. A friend is there for us at all times. A friend is there to share when we are facing adversities. There was an English publication some time ago that ran a contest to get their readers to provide a definition of friendship. And the publishers of the publication were going to select the best entry. And some of the notable entries were: a friend is someone who multiplies our joys and divides our griefs. Another entry was: a friend is somebody who understands our silence. You have someone that you can be comfortable with just being around and saying nothing? You know, a lot of times we think we have to fill the silence with some kind of noise. But I'll tell you, you can, I think, measure the depth of a friendship by just exactly how comfortable you are being with someone without having to say anything. But the winner of the contest was this: a friend is someone who comes in when the whole world goes out. Isn't that true? A friend is someone who comes in when the whole world goes out. That is a friend. And we need such friends. Friends who will strengthen us. Friends who will encourage us. Friends who will bless us. They do this by sharing. But I'll tell you, a second aspect of friendship is that a friend is someone who sharpens us. If you look in Proverbs chapter 17 and in verse 17 there, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Now, the Bible oftentimes uses these great images, and as you can take a piece of iron and strike it against another piece of iron, and through the process, you can hone an edge on that piece of iron. So it is with friends. You know what a friend will do? A good friend will put a keen edge on your life. A good friend will sharpen you, but a bad friend will blunt and dull your life. A lot of times we talk to our children about being careful in the selecting of their friends. And I would just say this to those of you who are younger that are here today, that you think about the selecting of your friends in this aspect, from this viewpoint. Look for someone who will improve your life, someone that will help you in life, and not someone that will hold you back. A friend is someone who knows how to speak the word that you need to hear at the time that you need to hear it. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 6 says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." In other words, a friend is someone who will love you enough to say the things that need to be said, to correct a wrong that needs to be made right. A friend can wound you in that way. That is, they can say things to you that you might not particularly like to hear, but because it is coming from this person, you are willing to listen to it. Now, this verse also says something about the kisses of an enemy. Do you know what that is, the kisses of an enemy? That's flattery. That's someone who will say something to you that they know you might like to hear. They don't necessarily mean it. I like this definition that was given one time. Do you know the difference between a hypocrite and a flatterer? The hypocrite will say behind your back what he will not say to your face, while the flatterer says to your face what he won't say behind your back. He will say to your face what he thinks you want to hear. He doesn't mean it. He won't say it when you're not around because he doesn't mean it. The kisses of an enemy will harm us, but the wounds of a friend will do us good. A friend shares. A friend sharpens. And I'll tell you something else a friend does. A friend sticks. A friend stays. A friend is there when you need them. You've heard the saying about fair weather friends. That is, when everything's going right, when everything's going good, they're there. They're with you. Oh, I'm your best buddy. But you let things turn bad. Let things sour. And that best buddy suddenly is nowhere to be found. A real friend is someone who sticks. And if you want to know who your real friends are, then you just make a mistake. And you'll find out. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 10 gives this great advice. Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friend. Don't forsake your friends. You stick by them. You stick with them. Now, if you want to have some friends, then you need to be someone who can exhibit these qualities. You need to be willing to share. You need to be willing to sharpen those with whom you become friends. And you need to stick. You need to stay with those who are your friends. And if you have such a friend, then thank God for them. We all have acquaintances. But thank God for those who are friends. Now, those are the marks of a friend. But how do you make friends? Let's talk about the making of a friendship and what's required. Now, friendships don't just happen. They take work. They're built over time. Someone has said that friendships are not like toadstools. They're more like oak trees. A toadstool will come up overnight. An oak tree takes a long time to develop. And there are five secrets in making a friend. But they all come out of one great principle. And I want to talk to you first of all about the principle. And then we'll quickly look at those five secrets. The principle is found in Luke chapter 6 and verse 31. Jesus said very familiar words, "Treat others the same way you want them to treat you." What do we call that? The golden rule. The golden rule is the very principle upon which friendships are built. Now, this is not pop psychology. It's deep, deep truth that Jesus spoke. Treat others the way you want them to treat you. Someone has said you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can make in 2 years by trying to get other people to become interested in you. And all that is just treat others the way you want them to treat you. Now, growing out of this principle are these five secrets of friendship. This is what people are looking for when they're looking for friendship. People want, first of all, to find acceptance. They want to be accepted. We'll look at a passage of Scripture in a few moments in John, the 15th chapter, where Jesus calls His disciples friends. He says, "I call you my friends." Now, were these Jesus' friends because they were such great, notable individuals? Well, a lot of them were just fishermen, common workers in various ways. Well, maybe it was because they were such pillars of moral rectitude. You know, these were men who did nothing wrong. Well, of course that's not the kind of men that these were. They had faults. They were a rather motley crew, actually. But Jesus said, "I call you my friends." You see, Jesus was willing for them, as He is for us, to accept people who are imperfect. He does not change us so that He can love us. He loves us so He can change us. The Bible says in Romans, the 5th chapter, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't because we were such great, notable pillars of moral rectitude. It was because we needed a friend. And He was willing to be that friend and to accept us. Now, does that mean, oh, well, the preacher said we don't have to change? No, that's not what I said at all. There are things that we have to change if we want to come to the Lord. But what I am saying to you is He offers His friendship to us in order that He can bring about change in our lives. But there's a second thing that people are looking for, and that is they're looking for acknowledgement. They want to be acknowledged. People want to have attention paid to them. We need to be careful in dealing with people that we don't become like the husband who said, "I'm concerned about my wife. She always goes around the house talking to herself." And his friend said, "Well, does she know that she's doing this?" And the husband said, "No, she thinks I'm listening to her." Now, we need to be careful that we don't ignore people. I mean, people looking for friends are all around us. Aren't you glad that God does not deal with us in that fashion? In the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter, and in the 15th verse, You find a great statement made there about one of the qualities of God. In Psalms 34 and verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. His ears are open to their cry. The eyes of the Lord, the ears of the Lord. He has, or I should say, we have His attention. He is watching us. He is listening to us. You have His attention. And that's the kind of quality that we must pass on as well to others if we're going to be truly good friends. But people are looking for appreciation also when they're looking for friendship. You find something commendable in someone. Mark Twain made the statement that he could live 3 weeks on a compliment. And I say to you again, I'm not talking about things that are, you know, from the Dr. Phil show. This is not pop psychology. This is biblical principles. We don't have the time to look at them, but sometime read the letters of the Apostle Paul. Some of the most stinging rebukes written to Christians who were not living like they ought to were written by the Apostle Paul. But in those letters, what you'll find is also his commendations to those same Christians. He found things that he could say that were good about them before he spoke to them about the things that they needed to correct. Jesus himself did this. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 2 and in chapter 3, we have a series of 7 letters that Jesus dictated. The Apostle John wrote to 7 separate churches. And the Lord begins those letters by saying, I know your works. And he says, here's what you have that's commendable. Here's what you're doing that's right. Here's what you're doing that's good. Keep doing these things. But then he would say, here's what I have against you. Here's what you need to do to correct things. People want to be appreciated. And so we need to look for the opportunities that we have to express commendations to them. But people are also looking for affirmation. I tell you, we are living in a negative world. You know why people have problems being friends and being friendly? They have such a rotten attitude about themselves. They can't possibly have a good and open and appealing kind of attitude about others. People need affirmation. They need to have affirmed for them the good qualities that they possess. And then finally, the fifth secret of friendship is that people are looking for assurance. They want to be assured. They want empathy and understanding. The book of Romans, the 12th chapter and the 15th verse, tells us that we are to rejoice with those that rejoice and to weep with those that weep. When people are going through heartaches and through difficulties, when they're having all sorts of problems, they're not primarily interested in knowing what my answers are to their troubles. They're not primarily interested in knowing what I think the solutions are to the troubles they're facing. What they want to know primarily is whether or not I care. Someone has said that people don't want to know what you know. They want to know whether you care. Then they'll listen to what you know. That's the makings of a friendship. But you know, as we said, friendships also, they don't happen overnight, and they don't maintain themselves without effort. Let me just quickly say this to you about the maintenance of a friendship. When you build a friendship, you've got to maintain it. In the text that we've read, the Bible says that a friend loves at all times. It requires our continuing to be friends. so that we might continue to maintain the friendship. There is a wonderful story. We're studying in our Sunday morning adult Bible class about David. We're concluding a study in the life of King David. And there's a great story in one of the troubled periods of David's life when his own son was seeking to overthrow him as king and to take his kingdom. And David was having to flee from his capital city. He spoke to one of the men that was with him, a man by the name of Ittai. And he said to Ittai, "You need to leave. Don't go with me. You need to leave to get away from the danger." And Ittai replied to David in this fashion. And it is a great story about friendship and the maintenance of friendship. Ittai said, "As the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely wherever my lord the king may be, whether for death or for life, there also your servant will be." Ittai said to him, "David, you're my friend, and I'm going to be with you." You see, he was maintaining that friendship. He was that kind of friend who sticks, who stays. Well, there is another friend who models friendship better even than Ittai did in the days of David. As I said, John chapter 15 and verse 13, Jesus talks about the fact that he calls his disciples friends. He says, "You're my friends if you obey my commands. Greater love," he said, "has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." In closing, may I just suggest to you that if you want to find the model for being a friend, you'll find no greater example than Jesus. He shares like a friend shares. Isaiah chapter 53 has a great prophecy about Jesus. 700 years before he came, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he cared." He came sharing our sins, taking our sins upon himself to pay the price for our sins. But not only does he share, he sharpens. Hebrews the 12th chapter, verse 7 and 11 say this about the disciplining, that is the training that the Lord provides to us in his instruction. "It's for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who've been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness." All that's talking about is the way the Lord sharpens us, puts that keen edge on our life. But I tell you that the Bible, if you open it up, will say only pleasing, pleasant, approving things to us? No, it doesn't do that. It disciplines us. It corrects us. It tells us when we're going in the wrong direction. That's what a friend does. But Jesus also sticks. He stays. That same letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews the 13th chapter in the 5th verse, the Lord says, "I will never desert you, nor will I forsake you." The Apostle Paul expressed that very thought in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He was at the end, near the end of his life. He was writing the last words that he would write in the New Testament Scriptures. And he writes to this young preacher Timothy. He says, "At my first defense, no one supported me. All deserted me. May it not be counted against them, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished." Do you get that? All deserted, he said. But the Lord didn't. He stood with me. He is the greatest friend that you or I will ever have. The truest, because he will share. He will sharpen. And he will always stay. Is he your friend? He said in John 15, you are my friends because you keep my commandments. Are you living your life in keeping with the directions of Jesus? If you're not, we invite you at this time in our service to begin living your life in keeping with the directions of Jesus. Make him your friend today by obeying him. You can obey him in believing that he is the Son of God. And in that faith, confess your faith in him. Turn away from a life of sin. Be baptized that you might be saved, because he has commanded such. And if that's your desire, then we stand ready to help you this day to make Jesus your friend. If you could come to the front and let us know that, then we'll be glad to help you obey him in the things he has commanded. We encourage you to while we stand and sing.